Anwan Oban, beginning the visit with Bill Snead this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of September, 73. Channel 1 Oban, and beginning the visit with Bill Snead this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of September, 73. Channel 1 Oban, beginning the visit with Bill Snead this Thursday afternoon, 20th of September, 73. Channel 1 Oban, beginning the visit with Bill Snead this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of September, 73. Channel 1 Oban, beginning the visit with Bill Snead this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of September, 73.
It's nothing.
Well,
too
hello.
Much.
Hello, Guy Miles.
I just been in the back patch looking at the cows, and you know, I sit down there a minute.
Could I give you a glass of tea? Yeah.
I don't believe so. I haven't been but a little while.
He just had some. They eat up there, Faye.
I tell you, yeah, I'll eat too much. Really?
A nice glass of iced tea wouldn't hurt you.
Well, it'd be nice. Thank you.
Okay. You can just drink what you want.
See, I keep an old breakfast coffee around. I don't drink much.
I know you used to ask you if all that place up there is pretty, because I know it is.
Well, we've had a lot of weeds. Looks like that's about all we've done this year is mow weeds. When it rains a lot, it always have a lot of weeds.
But you don't have the persistent ones I have.
I don't know. They come pretty quick.
You don't have them,
and then they come right back.
You don't have them old coffee weeds.
Oh, yeah, I got coffee weeds.
Both kinds?
both kinds. I don't have too many of the bad kind.
Yeah. What's the bad kind? The one with the little seeds?
Them flat-seeded things. What do they call those now? That's the one that'll kill your cattle.
You mean the coffee weed?
Yeah, it's a bean. Looks kind of like coffee weed, but the bean on it is flat instead of round.
Oh, well, I don't know that.
Well, I got some of them. They're pretty dangerous when they get in a certain stage. If the cattle are real hungry and eat them, it'll sure kill them.
Never heard of
that. Well, the cattle, whether they're hungry or not, they'll take a bite of anything.
Yeah, of course, I think they have to get a pretty good little bite of it before they'll kill them. But it slips my mind. It's right on the end of my tongue to say what they are, but you probably recognize the name they call them. It's a,
you're not thinking of crotalaria.
No, ma'am.
No.
Yeah, it's a coffee.
It's a bean. That grows just like a coffee bean. The leaf's a little different, and it has a bigger bloom on it, and it's got a kind of a curved, flat bean. It has seeds in it, just like coffee bean, but it's flat.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Have some sugar?
Yes, I would. No lemon, I'll have a little sugar. I never did learn to.
I don't know what that is. You know, I just farmed up to a section one spring.
Well.
So
There's not a lot of it, but it's around.
And it'll grow right out in the pasture.
Yes, sir. It'll come up there just like a coffee bean. It's usually around where, under shade, around the edges of trees, or where the cattle kind of gather that you see it mostly.
Well, they spread it, you reckon? Well, they just, the beans like that will spread
themselves. They'll spread, yeah, it seems that they will.
Well, you know, when I came down here, I bought this place Thanksgiving. I guess we've finished trying about Thanksgiving of 61. And I've never been on the place. I've seen it from the road.
Yeah.
And you know what? Great patches of it, but Thanksgiving, it had a frost apparently,
mm-hmm.
And there was great patches of that stuff up so high and so thick you couldn't walk through them.
Coffee beans?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And apparently the cows didn't bother them either. So there wasn't any.
No, cattle will eat them when they're real tender. They'll bite the top out of them a little bit. Vine will when you turn them in on a new pasture and they bite the top out of them. Most of my coffee beans are in cornfields, though, that we don't graze very much.
Yeah.
Just run the cattle behind corns. Oh. But that's where most of my coffee beans grow.
Well, that don't bother you.
I have to kill them. I have to use 2,4-D.
Oh,
yeah. In the cornfield.
Well, now, 2,4-D, well, it ain't 100%.
No, it'll bust them back, though, and make them turn over.
Yes.
And it'll keep them from reseeding.
Oh, will it?
Yeah, most of the time it will.
Oh, it will.
Most of the time it will, they claim. And I think you...
I have...
If you'll 2,4-D a cornfield about 3 straight years, the same field, you won't have any much to them out there.
Well, I've done that, and they've turned over, they've nodded, and turned
then
down.
Come back.
Yes. Come back vigorous. And,
You do have a coffee bean problem, then.
And that second, the later one, that has a little thin bean, 2,4-D don't bother it. Seems to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's my experience, though. Somebody else might tell you 2,4-D
is not a... We use it in cornfield because it does... I'll say it deters these big weeds, like pigweed and coffee beans. And it don't do very much to beggar weeds. Of course, beggar weeds are a real good weed to have. Cattle love it and eat it readily, and it's got right smart protein in it. But coffee beans, I haven't ever found. You know, I say I haven't. One time years ago, I don't know, were you living in Gainesville around this area when Dr. Palmer used to be here?
No.
The old veterinarian years ago. About 23 or 4 years ago. He had a place down here between Gainesville and Williston.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Anyway, 1 year. He said he had more coffee bean than anybody in the world. So 1 year he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make silage out of these coffee beans. And he got him a silage machine and cut about 50 acres of them things are just as thick as they could be and put them in silage. And the cattle ate them every one. He wintered them all the winter on coffee bean silage.
That's hard to believe.
Never.
He did it. I went down. I wouldn't believe it. He used to doctor our cattle years ago. And I said, Doc, I don't believe the things will eat it. He said, well, you come and I'll show you. They were eating it.
Oh, they had silage then. That's when they had those big... masonry.
Yeah, masonry silos.
Silos.
Well, I was just wondering if something couldn't be done.
He sure made silage out of them, and the cattle ate them readily. Sure did. But that's the only man I ever saw had nerve enough to make. He said he couldn't do anything else with them. He made silage out of them.
Well, now that was my idea of silage. He get you trained, of course.
Yeah, just
throw anything in at your head.
Right? Well, I think they would eat it.
And then put a little molasses on it when you
put a little something on it. They'd eat it, sure would.
You see, everybody's got to be such proficient growers and farmers and all. They take the fun out of it, haven't they?
Yeah, sure have. They don't leave anything to chance anymore. We got a lot of experts in our cattle business and farming now.
Yeah. And you got to tread lightly when they come around.
Sure do. Well, how have y'all resisted all these high prices for land all around us and everywhere? My goodness, they about to run us out of business up in our area.
Yeah.
Don't know what we're going to do.
Well, I don't know where people are going to live.
I don't know either. I don't know what they... I just don't know. There's several big places right there below between Gainesville and between Lochway and Gainesville, or south of Lochway and some north. They're fixing to put in big apartments and golf courses and all kinds of things.
We've got the only place in this country that a rabbit's comfortable.
You know, it's... Places like this are, we need a lot of them, really and truly.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do.
That's
place.
The truth. There's
rabbits
nowhere
and
for a
and possums and deer.
For a coon and a snake and a deer to hide anymore.
Yeah.
Guy, you wouldn't believe it, but you know, we joined the river, Santa Fe River Swamp, for 4 or 5 miles on the backside. And the man on our east side had about 1,500 acres run right down the river swamp up to Worthington Springs.
Yeah.
They got a road, 40-foot wide road now that you can drive 50 miles an hour right up to my back gate, joining the river, selling lots. Right in the river swamp. Really disturbs me. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. I'll never keep people out of the back side of that place.
Oh, no. Oh, no. If they don't come, the dog will.
Yeah. Really, people, I don't know how in the world, of course, anybody that knows that area wouldn't buy one of them, because when that Santa Fe River, it goes up and down like a yo-yo when it rains, you know. And I've seen right where he's selling lots 15, 20 feet underwater.
Yeah.
Just the whole earth covered water.
Well, you see, that's what they tried to do with the congressman. They tried to get him to help protect some of that marshland. And he'd rather be on the other side.
Oh, yeah. He'd rather be on those builder's side, those developers. I read a pretty good article about that somewhere. I've forgotten where it was here just recently, about how people that own property are paying taxes that this developer should be paying. It was a good article. I thought there's a lot of truth in it. He had some points that I thought were very valid. And they don't do anything. They just buy this land and develop it and sell it. They don't ever pay any taxes at all.
No, they just walk off.
They walk right off and leave it.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a lot of that, like these service stations. They build them and lease them.
Yeah, they build them and lease them to somebody else.
And then they put in these big hamburger places. They build them and lease them.
Well,
you gotta buy their products in order to sell them. Oh, well, that's a long story.
Well, I'll tell you, maybe you haven't got to the point that we have, but when we see too much of that, it just makes us sick. We lose our appetite.
Well, it's getting so bad now. Really, it's. I don't know what.
You know, tell you what was it. You know that when we lived in Gulfview, the man I used to go up High Springs with, up on that little rise, he had his brother, when I was up there a few years ago at Alachua, his brother had the bank there.
Isn't that funny?
I
can't think of his name.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I know Traxler.
Traxler.
The old man Traxler,
yeah.
You know, was in the bank.
Yeah. Well, they opened it again, you see.
Oh, yeah.
And then here, but this one, this boy, this, forget it, Leon.
Yeah. Leon Traxler.
He had the old, he lived in Gulfview.
Yes.
And
yes.
His wife worked down here. And he'd go out there every day, and he raised corn. And he had an old nigger helping him when I went out there with him. He used to go out there with him. And they'd sit there with their little coffee mill of a
corn grind, make meal and grits.
Yeah.
Grind
and make snap corn.
Now, oh yeah, yeah, oh, hammer meal. You
hammer
talking
meal,
about?
That's right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to go. I went out there for 2 or 3 years with him, off and on, and. Last thing I knew, he had bought a big John Deere tractor, and he was over age and grade already, but he wanted that John Deere tractor. And that's the old home place.
Yeah, yeah, well, of course, the old man Traxler and his wife are both in very bad condition that were in the bank, the two. They're quite old, of course, and both of them have had lots of problems.
Yeah.
She's mentally in bad shape, and he's almost an invalid.
But she wants to live in town.
Yes. And they still have, the Traxler still owns some property, but most of that Traxler property has been sold.
Yeah. what happened to Leon?
I don't know where he is, really.
Yeah. He's probably there in golf.
I think he probably is right
over that pipe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. I got in with some nice people those days.
Yeah.
And old Earl Hill up there, you see, that's nice.
Yeah, Earl was in the hospital a week, 10 days ago when Dorothy, my wife, was in. He had a hernia operation.
Yeah.
He's doing all right.
Well, he never had modernized.
No, he's kind of stayed the same.
Got same old post office.
Yeah, same old post office.
Well, I raised sweepstakes with him last spring, and I was out there all the time, just country. And dinner time, I'd go in with the rest of the hands.
Yeah.
And the thing I remember is that, you know, his wife, she cooked for all that crowd. Her mother was living with her then.
Yeah.
And, they had horn hangers. They had several horn hangers. But it seemed like at dinner, he had to get back always in a hurry.
Yeah.
But, you know, some would always come up and they'd get to talking about it. And
just sit right there.
Yes, sir.
Well, he'll sit and talk with you now.
Yeah. Well, now that's the way a man ought to do.
Yeah.
He should
yeah.
put business way ahead of pleasure.
Well, I agree with that. Yes. Everybody's
both
got.
Both of them are good.
Oh yes, they are. Of course, she's a Davis girl. You know, all of her brothers, Fort Davis, Davis,
yes,
Woodrow Davis.
No, just Fort, so I know.
Well, there's about five of them. They're all her brothers that live right there in that same area. And
yeah.
Old farm, all have farms.
Yeah.
And,
Fort built a big house since I've been up there.
Yeah, Fort. Well, he's been in that house 4 years, I reckon, five maybe. He's got a nice house.
They got such curious economy, you know. they put so much in those things.
Yeah.
When they don't need them.
All of his family's gone. They don't have a single child at home. You know, he had a house full.
Yeah.
They've all married, gone.
Nice.
Well, two of them live on. Three of them live on the ranch, on the place.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. One of the middle son is the boy, he's running the farm for sports just about where he can't do anything. He's got in bad shape.
Well, he was so big.
Yeah, he needs to lose weight, but he never has. So.
Let me tell you, one of the innocent birds, I forget his name, but when I was up there, he was a preacher. I think he preached at the little Baptist church there. I'm not sure. And he was considering taking over the butcher department at Earl Hill's place there. And, you see, at that time, I knew down here, but I wasn't that new. I was still not with him. But, you see, I didn't know things when I saw him.
Uh-huh.
Well, you see, if I see him now, I just wouldn't let him loose. I just go around with him.
Yeah.
He's a preacher. He knew how to farm. He knew how to cut meat.
Yeah, he was a good. What was his name?
I can't remember.
Yeah, he used to come to the ranch a lot. Oh, me.
But you see, you don't get preachers who know anything, Jim.
It's the truth. They don't know a great deal, I tell you.
Well, they know a lot of.
They good folks, I guess.
Well, I know it's down here, you see. This is really why it has been at that rate, cattle country.
Yeah.
And the preacher, they haven't had a preacher down here that knows which end of a cow to have. Well, it looks like they ought to be able to mend their ways a little bit, don't
it? Does look so, yeah. I remember him. He was a good preacher, too. He was all right. He was a good man.
Oh, I'd love to hear him. Oh, I tell you, I was dense in those days. I learned a little bit. I got a long ways to go still.
I guess periodically, all the time guys been living out here, every so often he would say, You know, it was the biggest mistake I ever made to have these cattle. If Bill Sneed had just let me hang around up there where he was and just watch them work, I wouldn't have had to have these cattle. I don't need to own them. I need to just look at them.
Well, I tell you, it's not really that simple. You don't suffer much looking at other people's cows.
You have to own a few to suffer.
Things have gotten pretty complicated everywhere. Trying to do business is real complicated today. Everybody's wanting something. Everybody's demanding. Makes you wonder whether you want to stay in it or get out of it.
Yeah.
Why, Mrs. Sneed, you didn't want to be in anything but cattle business, would you?
I don't know. Sometimes. Sometimes you think you want to just quit and do nothing. Everybody's gets in your hair all the time. Mostly people that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. They get after you about the bulls and one thing.
Oh, everything. Not especially. We've been very fortunate about things like that, but occasionally you'll have somebody that will. But trying to farm today and trying to keep your head above water is a real problem. Everything in the world has cost so much. If you need anything, you always have to have things.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And no matter what scale you do it on, whether big scale or small.
Well, you can't hardly do it on a small scale anymore. I mean, if you do anything, you've got to do it kind of big. If you don't, you can't stay in business.
You can't get equipment.
You just like tractors, you know. I used to, even though we had a big place, I used to operate small tractors mostly. I didn't have big tractors. I can't do it anymore. It's just you can't seem to get the job done. Now we have tractors. It takes an engineer to operate almost.
Yeah.
I bought a new tractor recently and a combine. That's the silliest thing I ever did in my life. I used to have two and I'd give them away because it used to give me so many headaches. And I bought a new one the other day and it cost me $19,600. And I used to buy the same thing for $4,000. $400 and something. And a tractor, I bought a new John Deere tractor the other day, and it cost $13,000.
Well,
5 years ago, the same tractor was about $6,800.
Well, that's fast. Well, the last time I was up there, that's been some time, you had brought in a new one, and it was around $6,000 or $7,000.
Yeah. I tried everybody's tractor because I couldn't get part. I'd buy a tractor from a man, and he was just great. He'd do everything in the world. And then something happened to his tractor, and it'd take a month and a half to get it back to running. And I said, well, I ain't going to never buy nothing from you. I'll quit you.
Well, this was you. This is one you got from Jacksonville.
Yeah, I just quit him completely, see. And I'd try another one, and they'd do that same thing. So I said, well, I'll try another tractor. I don't like you at all. I don't do no more business with you. I can't stand for my tractor to be broke down a month and I can't do nothing about it.
Not that kind of tractor.
And so I made the rounds.
You're running out of tractors.
I've run out of dealers now to buy.
Now, don't you know the fella who had what was it he had over there in Alaska?
Oliver's.
Oliver's, that's right.
Yeah.
And then built over there in your direction.
Yes, he did. Built a fine home over there.
But he couldn't stay in business.
No, I kept him in business for a long time. I bought four tractors from him one time at one lick.
Woo!
Yeah.
And it got so bad I couldn't get a part. I couldn't get them to do a thing in the world. One breakdown, I'd have to go to somebody else to get the work done instead of the man that was supposed to be the Oliver dealer.
Yeah. Well, I remember they told me at one time when he was going out of business that he was having to pay $300 a month just for that little place there with a tent roof and is more than he can handle. Well, of course, that ain't so much now. Things are
But he, I don't know. I don't like to talk about people, but they talked about his wife was, you know, all the time, and she was the one that kept pushing him into things that he shouldn't have got into, and he did get in bad shape. He finally, I think, about lost everything he had. He sold his house over there to Sport Davis. He sold where that big new house he built to Sport Davis. And they live in Alaska now. They live in Anchorage. He was a deacon in the church with me.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. And he wouldn't pay anybody. He wouldn't pay nobody. Really. Mel Phillips. He was. Everybody liked him, but he just had a knack of always behind somebody. Something was wrong every time he turned around. Somebody was suing Mel or something, trying to collect a bill.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I first saw him in business down there with all them nice tractors and the implements out down the lot, I thought, Lord, help us, what a man.
Yeah, don't always work that way.
And he had a good machinist or man over there in that shop.
Yes, he sure did. Well, it's getting harder and harder to get people to look after your equipment. If I didn't have a man myself, I don't know what I'd do. I would have to quit. But I've got a good mechanic that's been with me a long time.
You
just have to have him.
He's a cowboy. He's everything you ever heard of.
Oh, don't tell me. He's a mechanic, too?
Yes, sir. The Calendine boy.
Why do you keep him?
I don't know. To tell you the truth, how I keep him. Just
being good to him don't necessarily keep him.
Well, I think, yeah, it'll help some in certain cases.
Yeah.
Some cases you can't be good to.
Rare cases.
Very rare. Well, this boy came to work with me when he was a kid, you might say.
Yeah.
He was an Ohio boy, and I met him in Memphis, Tennessee. He was looking after a bunch of cattle for a doctor. And I liked the boy, liked the way he did his work.
Yeah.
And I asked him, after the show was over, we stayed up there about 10 days, I said, wouldn't you like to move to Florida? The weather's a lot better than it is in Ohio. Cold in Ohio. And he had just married a girl, young girl, and had a little boy. Calendine boy. Oh, well, you know Chuck or not. You ever meet Chuck? Big red-headed kid. He was a year old when they moved to the ranch.
No.
Well, he was in FFA and one of the outstanding boy. And he got a scholarship to the university in the band. He's a trumpet player. And he was with the Fighting Gator band for marching band for 2 years, and then last year he quit and started taking voice. And this year he's continuing with his voice. He wants to go to school, and he wants to be a minister of music in a church.
Really?
Yeah,
is that right?
He's
now,
a fine young
son.
Man.
This is
Ed's son. Yeah. Yeah. And then they had a daughter. They had two children, and they were we raised them there on the ranch. They both good kids. But Calendine boy he's as good an electrician as there is in the country. He has a license. He's a welder. He does all of my welding. He does all of my mechanic work.
The boy.
The man.
Yeah.
And he's only 39 years old. And he does all my combine work, and he also does all of the doctrine of the cattle.
Yeah.
He's a
pregnant. He pregnancy tests all of our cattle. I sent him to school.
Yeah.
He's a better veterinarian than any vet in this state. Guarantee you.
And he's just picked it up.
He's just picked it up and he studies. He's got the books and he studies at night.
Well, I could see
he's a outstanding young man.
But you thought
as far as where it goes.
You brought him up, I can see.
And he just somehow he could make $400-$500 a week doing most anything you want to do. You know those people up in our area now, I don't know where you've hired anybody to do anything lately or not, like an electrician or a plumber.
You can't.
They make $8 and $10 an hour.
Yeah.
Mechanics make from $7 to $10 an hour now.
Yeah.
And it's just awful the way you have to pay for things. I would have to almost close up if I didn't have. All of my people have been with me a long time. I'm too good, everybody says. I've got 3 nigger boys. That one of them has been with me 18 years.
Well, that's why you keep going.
Is he the one that watches your animals down on the left-hand side?
Yeah, some of them. Sometimes.
Girls?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Now, I started him as a boy, too. He was just a boy when he came to work. And then the Clark boy, he's kind of looks after the farm for me, and he's been there. Well, he was there when I came there. But he never has left. He stays there.
And you know, about each one of them could probably go out and...
Well, they have the knowledge to where they could do something else, I guess.
They know.
But we are good to them. We try to be. We don't pay them a pile of money, but we're good to them.
Like bringing up the children?
Yeah, bringing up the children and sending them to school.
Is there a place for them to bring
yeah,
up?
Yeah, and
bring up to them?
Give them a house to live in and pay their lights and water and everything.
I don't blame them.
Well, where do you make most of your money?
We don't make any, to tell you the truth. We kind of... Some years we break even, some years we lose money, Guy.
Well,
now, I happen to have been fortunate enough to be with some people that some years they needed to lose a little money.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's good or not, but it's the way it is. And that's how we've operated.
Well,
the last few years, while we've managed to sell enough cattle to stay about even.
Yeah.
But we've never made any money on the ranch. When Mr. Davis was there, he tried to, you know, he needed to lose money. He needed to do some things where he'd keep from paying so much income tax. I don't think that's good, but that's the way the world works, you know. So.
You just put it back in investment.
Yes, we put it back in the land and the equipment and cattle. That's the one way we built the place up. But we take in a lot of money, but it takes a lot of money to operate like we do.
Well, you're farming. Does that help you?
Yes. We still grow tobacco. I made $11,000 clear on the back crop this year.
You know, I didn't realize you all made
above all expenses.
That's where I figured out.
Yeah. And you see, when somebody said, oh, I sold $30,000 worth of tobacco, but they don't have to do like I do. I got to put down every dime I spend and what it was for. It, when we get through with the crop, I can tell you exactly what it cost to grow it and how much money we had left when we got through growing it.
If you didn't do it
No, we have to know exactly what it's done. And we do that. Miss Need does.
That's somebody you couldn't do with that.
No, I'd have to.
Isn't that amazing? I'd
have to quit.
How many it takes to make it run?
Yeah.
And if you had a smaller place, you'd still have to have those same.
Well, you'd have to have those kind of. You'd have to have somebody to do those things, really. Well, it is. I know if Dorothy got where she couldn't work, I don't know what in the world. She runs all of us and all the whole place. Everybody, they don't ask me for anything anymore. They ask her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank goodness. Well, she's a fine girl. I tell you, she does a lot of work. Well, we everybody's place, I guess, is different. Runs different. Different kind of operation.
You don't hire any custom work. You have
no, sir. I accept bulldozer work. Now I do. If I need a bulldozer, I hire somebody to do it. We never have bought a. I should have bought one. I probably paid for 4 or 5. We cleaned up an awful lot of land, you know, when I first came down there.
Yeah.
We only. See, when I came to the ranch, there's only little over 900 acres in the ranch when I came there.
Oh.
Now there's 2,500 acres.
Well, I wondered about that. I wondered.
Yeah, we bought a lot of property that joined us around. When Mr. Davis was there, we bought quite a bit of property.
Well, that's...
And, of course, that was the best thing we ever did because we bought it cheap. I cleaned up a lot of it. I probably cost me $75 an acre to get it cleaned up with a bulldozer, and then another $50 or $75 to get it in pasture.
Yeah.
But it was good. I know. Well, just take for instance, we bought a little place over there on the highway, Ms. Lila Shaw. I guess you. Right across from us on the highway. We bought 359 acres from her for $150 an acre.
Yeah.
I turned down $1,200 for it the other day at 359 acres.
Yeah. So, well, you see, I paid $125 for this.
Well, I'm satisfied you could get $1,200, $1,500 for it if you was a mind to sell it.
Yes, but you know, I think of that every now and then I think, well, so if I did that and moved off somewhere and woke up in the morning, what would I wake up and look at?
Well, it wouldn't be. Yeah, you could look at
concrete wall.
Concrete wall, and another condominium across the alley from me.
Yeah.
I don't want to wake up if I can help it. This fellow Crane that used to be down, he sold his place down here below Ocala and bought Rock Hollow Farm up there above, well, close to us, just above Lotchaway. And I think it was 1,250 acres. So somebody was trying to buy it the other day. He says, no, sir, I'm not going to ever sell it. Long as I live, I'm going to live right there. And I know that I ain't going to wake up in the morning, every morning, and see a condominium across the alley from where I live. Says, I'm going to stay right here as long as I live. I ain't going to sell it. Of course, when he dies, somebody will, I guess.
Yeah. But that's another generation.
Yeah.
I tell you, it gets me to go and I was going to these places that are built for air conditioning. You see, it can be just the hallway can just be a tunnel.
Yeah. Sure can.
That's all it is, you see. There's nothing comes in there. Everything is electrical.
That's right.
The air is electric and the
lights, air, everything.
Everything. Well, you're welcome to it. But you see, more and more people going to live in that, Bill.
Well, my goodness. They moving in them by the thousands every day, guy.
Every day.
Oh, I tell you. I don't know what this state's going to do. I guess they're going to have to do like every night. There's a few cities that have already stopped saying, no, we ain't going to let nobody else move in here. I think that's a good idea, don't you?
I think it's the only way.
I believe all of these cities need to do it.
I think they do.
People say, well, you're a nut. Well, I'm not, really. I think that's the only way we're going to survive. Directly, they're going to sink us.
They're going to sink us.
Yeah, they're going to sink us. Sure as well.
Let me tell you, before we get out there, the cattle, you never know where the cattle are going up or down.
No, I sure don't know how to figure cattle of market. Now, I tell you how stupid I am. June the 23rd, we graded and weighed some calves. July the 23rd, excuse me, not June the 23rd. July the 23rd. We are on this BCIA thing program that Jim Pace runs for the extension department down here at the university. And he come out and weighed and graded some calves. And the last two or three years, I've been, every calf don't weigh 400 pounds. I send it and its mama to the market. So I sent 7 little old bull calves and about 8 or 9 little old heifer calves to the market. And these little bull calves, they weighed from 300 to 400 pounds, but they average selling for $315 a piece. Well, I weaned some 2 weeks ago. Monday was a week ago. And I sent 8 cows and 10 calves to the market. Old, wore out cows, of course. And these little calves are light calves. And these calves that I sold the other day brought $80 a piece less than those I sold July the 23rd. $80 a piece less. Well, I said, I need a guardian. Somebody needs to look after me. But that's the way this crazy thing is. I don't know.
Right,
I don't know what cattle. I don't have any idea what cattle are worth. Really.
No.
I was disappointed as I could be in those last cattle. Of course, the others brought too much, I reckon.
Yeah.
But I got my sights cocked way up in the corner, and when I sold lead, I said, my goodness, what a letdown. So, I don't know.
Well, I know this. you see, you can't go along and just ignore what the prices are when you sell. But not like you take now, you see, there's so much demand for everything.
Yeah.
The prices simply can't stay down.
No, they can't. They're
there's no. They can. You see, the big chain stores can give you all the additives they want to add to your
hamburger.
But you still, the demand for hamburgers is colossal.
Well, sure. Whether it's got sawdust or what mixed in it, they still buy it every day.
Still buying it every day.
Yeah.
So they just. Simply, so you nothing can go down much anymore.
No, there's not much. It can't really. It can't really. I don't know. I've got a whole lot of friends that think, though, we are, and before too long, we're just gonna have a recession that's gonna really tumble a whole lot of these high-priced things to. Back down to a level.
Everything. I don't know.
This high-priced money, the guy. I just don't believe a farmer or anybody else. Whether you're building a house or what you're doing, I just don't believe he can afford to pay 10.5 cents interest and live. I don't believe he can.
Well.
But they're They're still at it.
Doesn't look like it now.
Every time they build a house, they sell it. There's a few apartments, condominiums that are not sold, but nearly every one of these houses they build in Gainesville, they sell them within a month.
Yeah. They've got a lot of rental units at Gainesville that's unoccupied.
Yeah, I know they have.
Depending on, you know, I don't need one, so I don't keep up with that. I just hear it,
yeah.
You see.
I think they've overbuilt in certain areas of the... I know they have. But, you know, that article the other day came out now about student housing, and I couldn't believe that. They said they had students sleeping in the hallways there at the end.
I couldn't believe that. Mm-hmm.
As many rental places there is in that town, I couldn't hardly believe it.
Well, one thing is that... They cost so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. You can't hardly rent a place for less than $200 a month.
No, unless you got three or four boys to share it.
Yeah.
They're in bad shape.
They sure are. Yeah.
You know.
They are too high, I realize. I grant you.
You graze most of your own food, feed for the cattle?
Yes, except for oats. We buy a lot of oats. Or we buy concentrate, too.
Now in the winter, is there anything that'll take place of your winter oats and rye? I mean, you have to have a little of that.
You don't have to, Guy.
I get
I feed hay and pellets. Now, young cattle need a little bit of grain if you're going to try to develop them and. I guess unless you fed liquid, this liquid feed or something of that nature, you got to give those cattle a little bit of help during the winter. Unless you do have rye and oats, and they're so high, I think they're way oversold. They're mighty good for cows and baby calves. Rye and oats, but rye seed and oat seed, and I tell you, oh my goodness.
Just the seed.
Seed alone, if you plant what you're supposed to, you should plant 2 bushels of rye to the acre if you're going to try to graze it, and you should plant 4 bushels of oats. Or if you plant 2 bushels of rye this year, the cheapest rye I've heard of is $11.80.
Let me tell you,
it's any good.
I buy a lot of stuff in Seminole because the truck comes up here once a week, and I order stuff and I don't ask the price. And they sent me 50 pounds of vinegar seed, and I didn't put it in. I just had it there. I thought, well, I'll need it. I'll just keep it. But when the bill came in, it had $42.50.
For 50 pounds?
50 pounds of vinegar.
My God. Can't believe that, God.
It's the truth of thought.
So I asked the boy to take it back.
I beat that, so that's worse than 38 cents for ryegrass seed. It used to be 12. Nine. I bought it used to buy it for 8.
Yeah.
I bought ryegrass seed for 8 cents a pound. This year it's 34.
Let me tell you something. You know, my friends at the Dodge over there, of course, they have the reputation of buying good animals and I let them run down. They don't have the pasture, and I don't know what it is. But even so, they make a good deal of money on the animals.
Is he close to you?
Well, right, he's just on the far side of Orange Lake.
Yeah, I know.
If you go straight. Well, she don't get. She's the one who handles knows the cattle, and he's the one that leaves the bull in with them all the time. So they got calves coming every month of the year, and I was
jacking him up about it one time, and I got thinking, old Maxie Mixon over here brought up right there where he's living and made his living on growing beans and getting his sisters and all to help
gather them.
And he got that land over there, and he's got that good grass, and he got those mixed cattle. And I was over there, and I saw some of those calves of his. They were so huge. And the first thing I know, there one of them started sucking. And, you know, I just carried it along my mind for some time, and I finally found out that what he does, he lets the cows wean their own calves. And they'll wean the calves maybe a month before they have a new calf. And the calf was in fine shape, and the cow was in fine shape. And the bull was right there all the time. And you talk about, they were handsome animals.
They really were.
They
just upset us.
Now, he gives them a little few pellets.
Yeah.
I remember one time he was out there, he had that operation that he took off his jaw and all, and he can't move around much. And it's dangerous to be out with a bunch of cattle with a bucket on.
Yeah, they'll run over you.
They crowded him, and just about got him with that shot. But that's the way he does. He sort of handed out to him.
Well, I
can't. Anything you sort of believe in?
I don't know. Everybody used to run their bulls all the time with a calf.
Yes.
I don't like a summer calf, though, Guy. I just don't think a summer calf does well.
It'll
grow, but it won't develop like a calf born earlier in the year. Now, I've tried it and tried it and tried it.
It's hard on the cow.
And it's awful hard on the cow. She won't breed back, probably. If she has a May or a June calf, or a July calf, June calf, say, 9 times out of 10, she won't get bred again.
Was it that bad?
It's just about that bad.
Yeah.
That's the trouble. Now, those people that run those, have those calves born all the year, they don't tell you what kind of percentage calf crop they have. Because they have a cow miss a lot, I'll bet you. I do. And if I quit having those summer calves, then those cows all get bred.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason in the world I take the bull out. Summer calves do bad for me.
You like to have January calves.
I'd rather have December calves now than any other one.
Because you can handle the cow. You can supplement the rations.
Yeah, and the calf, if it gets ready to sell quicker. You know, a lot of people in our state are having October calves now. They've just moved the bulls right on back. They turn the bulls out the first day of January.
Oh, don't tell me.
October calves.
So did I. I started doing it too.
And then just by the September sales, you're way ahead.
Oh yeah. Your calf is when the people are really wanting to buy those calves, it's very bloomiest and the best, and it weighs enough. It's big, see.
Yeah.
If you've got some way to winter that kind calf, if you've got some, I don't winter my calves on a lot of feed of cows. I feed them hay and pellets, my cow, and I'll keep a creep feed for the calves. When they start eating in the creep, I'll let them have creep feed. But I don't give that old cow anything extra.
Just pellets
and about two pounds of pellets and all the hay she wants. About all the hay she wants. This year she's going to be awful sorry. I don't know what she's going to do about it. But
you didn't have, your flopper wouldn't work fast enough, would it?
I couldn't predict the weather fast enough.
You still can.
Ain't awful.
You still don't know whether it's going to rain.
Sure
now.
Don't.
Now it rained, let me tell
now
you.
Now Sunday.
It rained last night here. Half an inch.
Yeah, I know.
And it's almost September you could get some hay in.
Saturday I told the boy, I said, cut down all your hay. Not gonna rain.
Yeah.
The weather map looked outstanding to me.
Yes, and you had 3 inches.
And it rained. He told me yesterday, he says, boy, I roll that hay around that you told me to cut till I wore it out. I said, man, don't pay no attention to what I tell you.
Well, you know what happened Saturday. Yeah, it rained before we got up, and then rained two or three times during the day.
It looked like it flooded here.
Yes, and then at supper time, it rained in almost 2 inches.
Good night.
That last Saturday.
Well, we missed that Saturday at home. We just got a little.
Oh, you just got a little. But
we had 3.5 inches.
My.
I went back there, and I was going to bring the cows up, let them be along here where we could see them, and they were so comfortable back there. I just hated to move. And
well, it's too hot. Too hot. They don't want to move around during the hot part of the day, you know. They'd rather stay in the shade. Fact of the matter, you can't hardly make them move around at that time of day. We have to do it early in the morning, late in the afternoon.
Yeah.
A guy found that out.
They like to move. They like to shade. Yeah, they like to
they don't much. Like to move around that hot.
Do you change pasture much?
Yes, sir, we change some. We don't change as much as some people do.
Well, what I find is my cows seem to get tired of the same pasture.
They
like to go into another one. It may not be any good.
But they find little new things around in a pasture. And it's good for them. I don't change as often as I ought to. I'll say that.
You know, it's a shame. Now, this is one of the old places.
Yeah, this is an old place.
Got the same old fence road. Same old water trough out there. Brick. And,
same old shed.
See,
Auburn people
it's got this pond down here that's about filled up. It's got that little swamp out there in the middle. It's got that big swamp behind. So, anybody else would drain those things, you see, and have pasture out there. But I just let them stay.
Yeah.
And you got these little hammocks, and
that's good in the winter too.
Oh, they do like it sometimes in the summer.
So yeah. Well, I think these marshes are. I think they're good. You'd be surprised how much cattle get out of them. They graze a lot around these. This old maiden king grass, pretty good grass. They grow around these bottoms. I got some spots that are growing. They cattle eat it. They like it.
They don't like to live on any one thing, do they?
No, they like a variety if they can have it.
That was a curious thing. I had to learn the hard way. I thought this good field of hay out here would just hold them.
I tell you about Bahia, I got so much of it. And it gets so rank to the cattle get where they don't like it. We don't really handle Bahia grass like we should. Bahia grass will fatten cattle just about as good as any grass you got.
If you handle it.
If you manage it. But it takes a lot of management. You need to keep it grazed close. You need to go in there and mow it real low when they get it grazed.
Yeah.
And you need to drag those manure spots down with a drag. And you need to fertilize twice a year.
Yeah.
Freshen it up.
That's right.
And if you do that, your cows will be rolling fat in. But I don't do it. I got too much. I don't have near enough cattle. For some reason or other, we just never run enough cattle on the ranch. I need 500 brood cows.
I'll be darned. Is that right?
Never have had enough.
Well, let me tell you, I've just got this little dabbler, and it works the potatoes out of me. You see, in the late summer when there's so much grass, it gets ahead of them, and you just gotta help them out.
Yeah.
It keeps you mowing or something.
Well, we're mowing right now. I'm mowing grass, Pensacola grass. It's honestly, it's 18 inches deep. Just it hadn't had any cattle on it in 3 months.
Yeah.
And it's just I'm mowing it to try to make it look better. Is all. I don't know what I'm mowing it for. Just stupid, I think.
Yeah.
But I do need a lot of cattle. We never have run enough cattle.
Well, the last time I saw you, you surprised me. You was buying cattle. I thought, Lord, what does he want to buy cattle for? You know?
I need a whole lot more cattle, really. I don't say I need any more registered cattle, but I need more mouths to eat.
Yeah.
Which the people that I work for don't want, see.
Yes.
They don't want commercial cattle. They want registered cattle.
Yeah.
Well, it suits me all right, but we don't have enough. We need a whole lot more. Oh, after you get about 300 registered brood cows, you reach a limit of what you can do with them.
Yes.
Guy.
Yes. Uh-huh. You can't keep track.
You just can't. It takes too much merchandising to get rid of them. Because registered cattle are going to cost you a little more money to keep up. And
you've got to know them.
You've got to know them and know how to breed them and try to think you know how anyway.
You've got to keep them in your mind.
Yes. And that's a... But we do need more cattle.
Well,
I hope someday we're going to get
see,
more.
Faye, isn't that amazing? And it works the tar out of you.
Yeah, it does.
I know the vet never comes out here, but what he does is say you need twice as much cattle as you've got. It's just a shame.
He just shakes.
I know it. But, you know, there's a limit to what you can do now, Guy.
Well, you see, I do other things, and I use the cows for other things. It's not really cattle that I'm interested in out here. But even so, I gotta look after them.
Well, that's what I mean. You still got to have.
Sure,
they gotta have enough little care.
Yeah.
You got to do something.
Somebody's got to put their attention to it part of the time. Get Debbie Faye and tell her. Let's go on out there, and she can talk to. She don't know anybody like Sneed.
Oh, your calves.
She's
calves
a
little.
She's my cowboy. I keep some of the young people out here where they work with.
Yes.
They don't know much, Bill, these days. And I've just sort of gone out of my way. I don't like people underfoot. I don't like it. I despise it.
Yeah.
But I've just had to do it. And I keep a few of them out here, boys and girls. And I send them over to the neighbors whenever I can get away with it. But you know, the hippie phenomenon is partly due to that. The adults don't take an interest in them. I notice these people, my neighbors, they don't like the hippies, but they also don't want to fool with them.
Yeah.
And they don't even want to talk to them.
Yeah.
And they don't want to talk to any of them. You see, and none of them know. You see, they don't know enough to talk.
Well, that's right. They
don't know how to find out.
They need some attention.
And even the bright ones, you see.
Yeah.
Why, all they've ever had is right on the concrete.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
And nothing I can do about it, just a little bit. And that's mostly what I do these days, sort of keep track of them. I'm short of money now, and I got raised a little bit. That's what I was chiefly interested in. Let's go out there and look around.
All right. Be glad to.
Pay attention to the fan. But see, that's pretty quiet, isn't it?
That's the quietest thing I ever saw.
Yeah. Of course, they'll go faster. And then you take it loose here and take this out and put it in the dishpan.
Wash.
Yes. And you see, why don't the Americans do that?
Why don't they make them like that?
It's no trouble. I mean, you know, it. I don't know that it's so much trouble making one.
It's great. Sure is.
Yes, that is a cowgirl. How are you?
Hi.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
And we got forget my hat. I came along.
John Van Oven beginning to visit with Bill Snead this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of September, 73. Channel Van Oven and beginning to visit with Bill Snead this Thursday afternoon, 20th of September, 73. Channel Van Oven beginning to visit with Bill Snead this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of September, 73. Channel Van Oven beginning to visit with Bill Snead this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of September, 73. Channel Van Oven beginning to visit with Bill Snead this Thursday afternoon, the 20th of September, 73.